Good morning. Today I'll be reading Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun.
Thank you, Davis. There are a few things of the many things that we do that are pure religion, that are the real thing, 100%. A lot of things we do are just, well, they're sort of, or maybe they have some good in them. What we just did with the contribution for helping people when they're at their wits' end, James would tell us, is pure religion and undefiled before God the Father. When you've lost everything you have and there's all there is for help are lines and papers to fill out and not even a promise of anything, and Christians, and it's always Christians, every bit of this money goes to the church in the closest area to the disaster. They hand it out freely. It's pure religion. Jesus said someday when we stand before him, one of the things that will be brought up is, what did we do with what we had, and how did we help when we could or not? I'm glad that this is a church that practices pure religion. When we worship, we try to worship God purely and honorably and honestly. When we work, we have our own children are down in a ghetto area, a difficult area where the poor people live, and they're helping people right now in this congregation. And all summer long, people from this congregation have gone out to share the gospel. And there's nothing more pure than evangelism as they go out to share the gospel with others. And today we got to have another opportunity. We're the most blessed people on earth. One reason we're blessed is because we have these many opportunities to do good and to glorify God. A little while ago, the passage from the 19th chapter of Psalms was read. This is where David tells us of another book that glorifies God. The Word of God, of course, he's going to tell us later. But he points to the skies. He points to nature. And he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. In the 8th Psalm, we have him say almost the same thing, but he develops it a little bit more. Psalms 8. David said, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, thou whose glory above the heavens is chanted. By the mouth of babes and infants, thou hast founded a bulwark against thy foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little less than God, and doth crown him with glory and honor, and hast given him dominion over the works of thy hands, and hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. This great psalm of praise is describing how truly wonderful and amazing and magnified is the name of God. And he starts off by telling us this is established in a place that's even above the heavens. In the Bible, Paul one time said that he went up into the third heaven. The idea is the first heaven is where birds fly and airplanes fly, and the second heaven would be where the stars and the moon are. And the third heaven is where God lives. He said he went there, and he saw it. Here, David tells us that God shows his handiwork in all that he makes. It's a sermon that's preached with in such clarity that anyone that's looking would notice. In another place, he would tell us that only a fool would say there is no God. Just look around. How could you imagine such a thing? He says, you set your glory above the heavens. And he describes his glory by talking about the part of God's creation that he could see. And he said, they all shout out, they all sing, and they all enter into one long, loud concert of praise to God. If we went to the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, we would see in chapter 5 when John is allowed to see into heaven, and he says in chapter 5, verse 11, after songs have been sang to the Father, he says in verse 11, then I looked, and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all therein saying, to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Here, John picks up where David left off, and he says, in this place beyond the universe, in this place where God is, a great chorus is always singing the same song. They're singing praise to the Father who made everything, and we got our life from him. Praise the Father for the works of his hand and his might and his wit and his amazing power. But also praising the Son because he saved mankind. And he starts this chorus in heaven like David does here. He starts it in heaven, and he tells us what they're singing about, and he tells us who all's there. And some of the creatures and the others who are in heaven, the personalities that are there, are mentioned, and they're named by name. And then he talks about the angels, and he says there's thousands of thousands of them. That would be millions. Millions of angels, and they've got one primary job. Sometimes they take messages. Sometimes they do other things. They escort those who die in the Lord to the presence of God. But he says they really shine as they sing this song of praise or chant this chant of praise to God. And here he tells us, David tells us, just like John tells us, that others join into this. He says every time a cow moos or a horse whinnies or a dog barks or a bird sings, every time a sheep baas, every time a whale sings, every time a bee makes that noise they make, and even the stars in the universe all send out sound, and they're all singing a glorious chorus. O God, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. And every time a little baby gurgles, or every time a child sings. We sang a song a while ago about what can wash away my sins. One time when Ben, can you imagine he was ever that big? One time when Ben was a little boy, standing on a chair in front of the sink, helping Patsy wash dishes, he had hold of the wand with the, you can imagine that, can't you? Squirting the water out, and he starts singing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And he joined into that chorus that's going on all the time, that sometimes we join into in an organized way as we sing, and we become a small part of a universal worship to God. Children have got away with it, don't they? When he starts off with the babies and the toddlers, and he talks about it here, and David talks about it, we know that, because we know when we see that baby, we know this is pure, this is real. They don't know anything except what's true. They're going to learn about lies from the avenger and from our enemy, but right now, it is exactly what you want to hear, isn't it? A few weeks ago, over in Brownfield, Mickey Burkett, you know how he gets to singing. He was leading the singing there, and everybody was real excited. They were talking about seeing the King someday, and shout and sing someday. And my little niece, Eden, she got carried away with the singing. She was really having a big time. And when they all said, "We all shout and sing," she shouted out, "Whoop-de-doo." And joined into the chorus with one extra little phrase that'll always be in my mind. This joyous praise to God. When my girls were little, they liked to sing, "I'll be somewhere listening." And when they'd start singing, I'd always watch them as they would sing, "I'll be somewhere listening for His name." There's nothing like a child singing to God. And sometimes they would also sing, "We shall see the King someday." They had almost danced over there in the corner where they were, because they were so full of excitement about seeing the King. David says, from the mouths of baby, they're all saying God's name is magnified. I'll be somewhere listening for His name. And then he says, one reason your name is magnified is because you founded this bulwark against thy foes. I don't know what all the angels do besides worship Him, but I do know that they guard. And they guard God's people, and they guard God's territory, and they guard God's work. When God put man out of the garden, an angel was put there to make sure that no one would come back to that tree of life. Angels make sure that God's business is taken care of. I certainly don't know how, but I know He promises that. Jesus said when Lazarus died at the gate of the rich man, the angels carried him to God, to paradise, to Abraham's bosom. We could only speculate as to why. But in another place, the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. I mean, he's everywhere. And his whole job is to try to interrupt, try to take over, try to destroy the work of God. And angels make sure that doesn't happen. Isn't God something that He would think of that? And at the time when you've breathed your last breath and you are now on your way to God, have no fear, because you'll be transported by experts. Every so often they revise the idea of how big the universe is. Every time we get another telescope or a bigger computer, we just keep figuring that it's bigger than we could ever imagine. When David was looking at the stars, and he was, you could just imagine him thinking, "I wonder how many there are. Could anybody even count them all?" David didn't know. He was just looking at such a fraction. Hold your thumb out, it's arm's length at night, and whatever your thumbnail is covering is millions of stars that you can't even see, but they're there. whole galaxies are seen with one star. In some places where we've pointed it, the telescopes towards empty places, we just see more and more. They think that it's probably 10 billion light years to the edge of the galaxy. You know why they say it that way? Because there wouldn't be enough zeros to say how many miles it was. Because a light year, the speed of light is 186,200 and something miles per second. How big would that number be? So how could we ever get from here to where God is? He describes it as an instant. Because God is God. How magnificent is His name. When He says He has all power, this distance is for us. It isn't for Him. And those angels, they can travel however fast they need to, do whatever they need to do, and we don't have to worry about that. Would we be any different if we could see like the servant of Elisha could see, when we could see what's really going on all around us and above us, and how big it is and what all God's involved with? David just says, O Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name in all the earth. He can't get away from the heavens. He's probably writing this psalm at night sometime looking at the stars. And he says, when I look at thy heaven, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou established, I'm overwhelmed. When I look at, you'd have to use the word macro, wouldn't you? When I look at what you've done, and then I look at who I am, that's where you use that word micro, wouldn't you? You should move back to that little thought, and I think, why do you give us a second thought? Why do you even notice us? Why have you glorified us so much? When God created man and he said, I'll make him in our image, it's not just talking about that we're eternal. He also gave us significance as he put us in charge of the world. Isn't that something? Doesn't sound like a very good plan, does it? But he did it. Which gives us significance. And he says, over animals and over nature, we actually get to not just be in the garden, but we get to be in charge of it. We get to be able to work it and to do this. And he says, and so not only do every creature join into this praise of God, but the very nature of what we are and what we do is a part of this. Above the heavens, some things are going on pretty big. But even here, it's pretty significant. It's so enormous and so amazing. Can God take care of his enemies? Satan? Well, look at what he's done. David looking at the stars and the universe, and he looks at himself, and he knows something amazing is taking place. Yesterday, Patsy and I went to an art gallery. Can you imagine that? Me? It was Western art, so I thought I'd like it, and I did. There was one sculpt there that was, that's a smart way of saying little statue, you know. Made out of bronze, and it was a girl riding a horse, and somebody was after her. You didn't know who. But she's riding for all she's got. She's leaning forward. She has a gun out in her hand. Her hair is sticking way back, and her hat has blown off, and the horse is running for all he's got. I was amazed at that. If you knew about saddles, you would know who made that saddle that they've miniaturized there. And you could count how many twists were in the lariat that was hanging on her. You could see so much action, except there was no action. It was all frozen right there. But a long time after you quit thinking about bronze and clay and little tiny saddles and bits and horses' faces, what do you think about? Who could do that? Who could make that? Who could even think that and then make it? David's standing there looking at the universe, at the part he could see, and he says, how could he possibly do this? I know one thing from looking at that sculpt. I've wondered why they're selling it for $8,000. I mean, that looked like that would probably have been a lifetime of work. But I also know that whoever made that, it's got something I don't have or ever will have. I'm sort of a big idea kind of a guy. And that kind of detail just overwhelmed me. How could the same one that made the universe make an ant or an amoeba or me? How could that happen? And he says, when he's talking about it here, he said, there's something going on here. He says, how did a man make that statue? How did God do this? David looks at the stars and he says, isn't God something? And he wonders, why do you even waste your time with us? Why have you invested so much in us? You even made us to testify of your greatness. So everything we do is to the glory of God, and we get to be part of that. He says, so everywhere I look, I see you, God. And not only that you made us, and you gave us a tiny piece of yourself so that we could look a little bit like you, and we can imitate you. We can plan and we can rule and we can make things with our fingers that we can take our place in glorifying you. There's a song we used to sing. It's not in our new books. It was in our old ones. A guy named Brock wrote it. It's called Beyond the Sunset. Let's try. Beyond the sun. Our Savior, heaven is begun. Earth's toiling ended. Oh, glorious dawning beyond the sunset when day is done. Beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather, no storms will threaten, no fears annoy. Day of gladness, day unending, beyond the sunset, eternal joy. Beyond the sunset, a hand will guide me to God our Father, whom I adore. His glorious presence, his words of welcome, will be my portion forever sure. Beyond the sunset, Oh, glad reunion with our dear loved one who's gone before. In that fair homeland, we'll know no parting. Beyond the sunset, you're evermore. Far above the heavens, farther than we can ever guess, wonder, we'll never make a telescope that will be able to see that far. God rests in all of His glory, and all the angels sing praises to Him, and all of His creation is in a continuous worship to His glory. And He put us here not to banish us. It's not that we leave here and go there. It's that we're from there. And we go home. Remember the last day of school? Remember tearing up the notebooks and throwing them out the window of the bus? You remember the only thing you would want to say is, whoop-de-doo. That's where we're going. And you don't want to miss it. You want to be there. You want to be part of it. But fortunately for you and me, for the little bit of time that we're here, He lets us glorify Him. And when we quit sinning and come home to Him, we glorify Him. The greatest thing the prodigal could ever do was go back and tell his father, I want to come home. I've sinned against you. And the happiest his father could be is by that. And the most amazing thing that happened in that valley the whole lifetime of both of those people was that the boy gave glory to his father by coming home. I want to go to heaven. And that journey starts now. Paul told those people in Philippi, you live in Philippi, but you're a citizen of heaven. We don't think enough about heaven. We don't think enough about His coming. We don't think enough about any of that. But we should. But we should also think about this moment right now. Right now. When we have this privilege that any angel would gladly trade places with us, because in this place where you are right now, in your life, in the history, in this community, this place, right now, you get to say, oh Lord, my Lord, how excellent is your name. Won't you come to Him while we stand and sing?